Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Alvin Schmidt is the author of our book of the month for February, Faith Misused: Why Christianity is Not Just Another Religion. This new book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about Faith Misused at issuesetc.org. Find out how faith is an exclusively Christian word and how Christians can reclaim it in Faith Misused, the Issues Etc. book of the month for February.
If you call, I will answer. If you fall, I'll pick you up.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this, let's see, it must be Thursday, February the 3rd. We are going to do some listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. And that comment line, 618-223-8382.
So, Todd, how do I sound to you?
Normal.
Normal? Good.
Yes,
good.
Completely normal.
For our audio files, they might notice, I'm sure they will, that you sound a little different. You're broadcasting from Waterloo, Illinois today, right?
Yes, I'm in a spare bedroom. We had some snow.
And yeah, how much snow have we gotten? It looks like, I'm looking outside our studios, look like it's still coming down.
We got, I don't know what you guys got up there. I know Alton, just north of you guys, got 10 inches. And that was on top of ice.
When I left this morning to walk up the hill for my brother to pick me up to bring me to work, I think I was stepping in about six and a half inches of snow. So that's roughly in the area what we got this morning.
I just know it only let up for like an hour today, and it's added again. And since I have a 35-mile commute on top of roads that, the highways were not bad. The interstate was not bad, but the about 10 miles that I have to travel to get to the interstate is not great. So
I know that firsthand.
Yeah. Jeff actually visited my house this morning to bring some equipment down here. Very nicely, nice of him to do that. So we could still have a show on this Thursday afternoon.
Now I have to say the commute from Collinsville, where our studio is at, to your home in Waterloo, the best streets by far. Was your subdivision? Does the street supervisor live in your subdivision? They were unbelievable.
We have a lot of cops who live in my subdivision. So those things get, they just run a really narrow plow through there so you can, and block your driveway. If you're not out there to actually shovel it before they come, they will block your driveway. So I currently have three vehicles sitting in my driveway that only one of them can get out because it's the only four-wheel drive. My son's.
Did you say that you're in a bedroom this time? You're in a bedroom when you broadcast from home?
Yeah.
Weren't you last time in the closet?
I was, and I didn't feel like trying to pack it all in there. So
that was during COVID.
Yeah.
That was
for a couple
COVID.
Months.
Now, some of my people might be listening and say, why is Shores stupid driving 35 minutes? Of course, that's in normal weather to Waterloo, Illinois to give Wilkin equipment. That's a legitimate question, right?
Absolutely.
Well, let me tell you why. First is, the most faithful listeners in podcasting deserve the same kind of faithfulness from us.
Agreed.
Secondly, when you go to journalism school, you'll be told early on there are no snow days in the media. You're expected to drive to work or your employer will pick you up from work. Why? Because those are peak listening opportunities for viewing, listening, and reading.
People are stuck home.
That's right. That's right. And third, and I think I've told this story before on the podcast, my dad, a UPS truck driver, we lived out in the country. I remember we got a huge snowstorm. I'm just a little kid. He had the stomach flu. And I'm watching him shovel our driveway, which I'll just say is 100 yards, because last week I said that the train tracks from our studios were 200 yards, and Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson, eagle-eyed Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson measured, I think it's like 90 yards.
She said it was 90 yards, but yeah, I said it, and that I saw it out the window. There she was out there with the measuring tape. She measured it for us.
So I'll just say 100 yards. I think it's more than that, but I'll say 100 yards because I was off last week by 110 yards. Anyway, we have this driveway. It's got to be 10 inches of snow at least. And my dad has stomach flu, and I see him vomiting. And I will never forget my dad's, the visual image of my dad's vomit in this pristine snow. And I waited for him to come inside, and I said, "Dad, why are you going to work?" He just looked at me and said, "Because I have to." So those are the three reasons why I filled Craig's shift yesterday. He couldn't make it in because couldn't make it down the hill, right? Or up the hill,
yeah,
down the hill.
I mean, I went, funny story. Tori tells me about 7:30. She says, "You need to figure out, you know, if you're going to be able to get out of here or not." So I hop in the car. I make it about halfway up the hill. And the car starts to turn sideways. I'm literally halfway on the street, halfway in somebody's, you know, well, my, I should say somebody's in my neighbor's, kind of like the curb and gutter, just over that. And a four-wheel Jeep comes down real slow, stops, and the guy says, "You know, do you need some?" So anyway, long story short, he calls my wife. She's like, "Let's figure that, you know." So I get traction. I'm able to get traction. I back the car down the hill, and it goes back in the garage. And yeah, I didn't make it in yesterday. And coincidentally, I did that again last night to try to park the car at the top of the hill, and I wasn't able to make it either. So no.
How far do you live from the studios, Craig?
I mean it's maybe a 4-minute drive.
Yeah, so it's a couple of miles, yeah, right?
Yep, not long.
You know, when I was coming back, Todd, from Waterloo, I saw an employee riding his bike for his work shift at Ramon's Mexican restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, suck it up, Buttercup Schwartz. I mean, this poor kid is trying to ride a bike in this stuff.
Well, see, that's what I told Maria this morning. I said, she says, "Why is Jeff insistent on making this happen?" I said, she goes, it's just a radio show. I said, "Jeff knows that." I said, "He's the son of a UPS truck driver."
That's right.
And that's the explanation right there.
Who shoveled himself 100 yards out of probably a foot of snow while having the stomach flu. So what I did today pales in comparison. Let's go to email, shall we? Larry writes, "My daughter got us started listening to Issues, Etc. We've enjoyed it, except for Terry Mattingly, and decided to make a donation in December. A few days ago, I listened to responding to listener email and was very upset by something Todd said. He compared Sean Hannity to Rachel Maddow and said the truth is somewhere in between the two." Larry, this was Jeff Schwartz said this, not Pastor Wilkin. "That is outrageous. He obviously does not watch the shows. Sean has strong opinions, but the news he bases them on is accurate. Maddow bases her opinions on the lies peddled by MSNBC. For example, 2.5 years, she told us Trump colluded with Russia. Hannity told us Trump did not collude with Russia and based on excellent evidence uncovered by Fox. After a 2-year investigation by Mueller, Sean was proven absolutely correct. I think I will assert that Todd Wilkin is presenting his opinion on Jimmy Swaggart, is presenting his opinion, and the truth is somewhere in between. That would be ridiculous because your opinions are based on truth and facts and Jimmy Swaggart's are not. This kind of faulty reasoning has shaken our faith in your program. Fox, who hired Molly Hemingway and Hannity, are a blessing to those of us who care about this country. They present news on the pro-life movement and many other issues Christians care about when MSNBC and Maddow and the other mainstream music ignore or mock them. Please ask Todd to think through what he said. Two disappointed listeners," concludes Larry.
You said it, not me. Didn't you?
Yes, I did. Okay. I did, because if you watch those two channels, you go back and forth, and I'm talking about the same stories, they're completely polar opposite positions. So, what do you do with that? First of all, Sean Hannity, and I'm sure Sean Hannity will say this, you're not getting news, straight news. I should say straight news when you watch Sean Hannity on Fox or listen to his radio talk show. You're not. Sean Hannity, let's think of this. Let's say it's Walter Mondale versus Bush Sr. Sam Donaldson does a pitch for a Walter Mondale rally. What do you think the reaction would be for that?
Well, he's thrown his objectivity aside.
Right. Had some major crisis have been happening during the Carter administration, and we knew Sam Donaldson was calling close advisors, president, close to the president, giving him advice, what would you think about Sam Donaldson's objectivity?
not much.
Well, that's exactly what happened on January 6th. I'm not saying Sean Hannity's wrong. I'm just saying that if when you watch him, just know this is not straight news. This is news opinion, news analysis. Just like when you watch Rachel Maddow. News opinion, news analysis. And if you want a way to know for sure, ask yourself, how many times has Rachel Maddow, how many times have they issued corrections on the air? I got this wrong. Do you think that Sean Hannity and his producers every night are saying, what is the best thing we can do to make the Democrats look good? Or Rachel Maddow. Don't you think they're walking and saying, well, what can we get on the right-wing nut jobs? When they talk about what they're going to talk about on their so-called news program, when you go in that mentality rather than what's the story here? What are the facts here? And you know, if you did that, you wouldn't be able to fill an hour or 2 hours every night in primetime.
Terry Mattingly has the best advice on this. And I know that the listener said they didn't care for Terry, but you can't beat this advice. Read your news. Don't watch it. Read your news. Now, you got to find a paper that's going to be as objective as possible. There's still a few of them out there. And remember, don't confuse your opinion page with your news page. But he said you can still find places. And Molly agrees with this, by the way. She even made this statement at
our COVID conference.
Yeah, the COVID conference, where she said, look, you have to find those publications. She also said, read your news. And you need to find those publications that can be trusted. Nobody's 100%, but you got to make sure that you find those. Not an echo chamber, not something that affirms what you already believe, but something that on a regular and reliable basis gives you just the facts, and then make up your mind for yourself. So, and don't do your fact-checking via the internet, because the internet, anyone could put anything on the internet.
You know, the advantage
I just think it's great advice.
The advantage of reading, Todd, is you're in control. You can stop. You can start and you can process. What did I just read here? Is this a reporter spinning this? But when TV news is going on to the next, they're spending 5 minutes on one story, mm-hmm. moving on the next, you're no longer in control.
Well, and there's also another little, this is a gut check thing for me. And that is, and I'm saying this as someone who was the earliest possible adopter of being a Rush Limbaugh fan. We're talking 1988. I found him whilst tuning through the dial one lunch hour and was hooked ever since. Now, not so much, you know, in the latter years, no, not so much. But if you think you're getting the news, but you're actually being entertained, you should that should probably be a red flag. If you find the news entertaining, look for stuff that bores you. You know, and there's still a lot of stuff on the internet that is the online version of the print stuff that is so mind-numbingly boring. It's probably the best place to get your information. Because if you're reading it to be entertained, and look, everybody likes it. They get their jabs in. That's one of my biggest gripes with you know, people who go to places like one of my favorite publications, Molly will disagree with me, National Review. It's been my favorite publication probably for more than 30 years.
But it's not a straight news publication.
It's not straight news. And sometimes I find myself being very entertained by what I'm reading, but not so informed by what I'm reading. So if you find yourself being entertained, you might just be consuming something other than just the facts.
You know, Terry, I know you have people critical of Terry, but he is spot on this when it comes to media consumption. It's like we're reading the newspaper. Let's just say the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. We're closest to St. Louis, biggest city. And the only part we read of our newspaper are the op-eds, is the op-ed section. But it's even worse. We only read the op-ed contributor that we agree with. That's the dilemma that
and
we
this
have.
This is an issue for Christians. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. Christians are people of the truth. First and foremost, the truth of God's word, the infallible truth of God's word. But secondly, also the truth of the world around us. We want to know what's true, not what we hope is true, think is true, wish were true. That's not the pursuit of the truth. Christians, as lovers of the truth, want the truth no matter if they like it or not, no matter if they agree with it or not. And I think that we always, as especially as Christians, need to consume the news that comes to us with a measure of skepticism. This is where your vocation comes into play. Okay, so the eighth commandment put the best construction on everything. Well, if I doubt what this person is saying, I'm not putting the best construction on it. But your vocation as a citizen is to doubt what politicians tell you. That it, you actually are called not to break the eighth commandment, but to exercise skepticism as part of your vocation. And I think the same is true of being a consumer of news. It used to be true in being a producer of news. Journalists were called to be skeptical of everything, to question everything, to verify everything, to get a source for everything. And we've passed out of that era. And now we as consumers of news need to do their job for them. It's that simple. And especially as Christians, being lovers of the truth. All right, when we come back, a little bit more of your email and the issues, etc. comment line. Listen to it twice, 'cause the DJ is asleep. If you appreciate Issues Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we may be saved. This is the teaching of St. Peter, and this is the teaching that we continue to hold to, and yet many in our world today struggle with these claims of exclusive salvation through Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about how Lutheran doctrine compares to that of other world religions, you're in luck. The February issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about Lutheranism and world religions. Visit cph.org/witness to purchase a copy, or our website witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382.
This one comes from Matthew. I don't think I've ever heard outright heresy on Issues Etc. before, but there it was at the end of last week's listener comment line. Something like, quote, the best beer you've ever had is not much better than the worst, end quote. This is patently false and more befitting of a Baptist podcast than a Lutheran one. I'll have you know that the best beer I have ever tasted was Doppelbach Dunkel at a small monastery in the town of Andex, about an hour outside of Munich. It was sublime. Being a bachelor at the time, that beer made me strongly consider the monastic life. The worst beer? I've had many that I could not even finish a sample size, let alone a full pint. Fruit, smoky, skunked, bitter, you name it. To say that these are even in the same ballpark as the beer at Andex Monastery is an attack on the first article of the Creed and the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. These pictures from Andex might even entice you to take issues, etc. on location. The beer is truly almost worthy of the vow of celibacy. Almost. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Matthew.
I stand by, it's my dad's saying that I just have borrowed from him, that the best beer you ever had was not that much better than the worst beer you ever had. Look, I'm not saying there aren't better beers and worse beers, because there are, but there's not that big of a difference between them. Now, I have had some better beers and I've had some less better beers. And I have no problem with the listeners kind of labeling this beer he had once as the best beer he ever had. That's fine. That's fine. Was it that much better than the worst? I don't know. Because there's beer is beer. That's kind of the point. You could take the entire saying and condense it down to beer is beer. The reason I like to repeat my dad's axiom is because there's a tendency among Lutheran pastors to be beer snobs. The worst beer snobs are the pastors who brew their own beer. And they will tell you without any hint of irony that their beer is the best beer they've ever made, that they've ever had, almost to a person. But beer snobbery is kind of like being snobby about what?
Wine.
I don't know. See, wine is maybe, it's like being snobby about something that's already really mediocre in and of itself. Beer is kind of mediocre. If you've ever read the history of beer, it was a drink of necessity because water was so bad. And so even the ancient cultures like the Egyptian culture drank beer. I was actually interested to learn that there was a brewery, not just one, but several breweries that were operated in ancient Israel, first century Israel. So Jesus might have drunk beer too, but it wasn't the kind of beer we see today. It had stuff floating in it and they drank it through straws because it was kind of disgusting. It was a drink of necessity. Even in the Middle Ages, it was a drink of necessity. If you had offered Martin Luther something better than beer, he would have taken it. Or if you would have said, here, Martin Luther, here's some pure water that won't make you sick for weeks, he would have said, ah, good. I can finally take a break from the beer.
Todd, I would just want to know, how much free time do you have on your hands? I mean, I know now you probably much, but before...
I was just about to say, you seem to know almost about as much in the history of beer as you do about physics and multiverse theories.
I've probably read a half dozen books on the history of alcohol, and the free time comes from that 35-mile commute that I make every weekday. So when you've got like 45 minutes each way, counting traffic, you got a lot of time to consume audiobooks. So I've probably read 6 or 7 books on the history of alcohol.
One more. CC, I just heard a commercial for Issues Etc. on the podcast, The World and Everything in It. What a brilliant idea, concludes CC.
Well, that was Jeff's brilliant idea.
No, it was Brian Wolfmiller. He's the one that
really
told me. Yeah. Yeah. We've done other podcasts like Christianity Today with Pastor Whedon's podcast, and we've done Hannity and Levin. And
so who produces The World and Everything in It?
World Magazine.
Okay. That's a great title. Then as well. Apparently there's some overlap in our listeners, but it's always nice to reach out to a new audience. And maybe we should look into advertising on Joe Rogan. That wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah, I don't think so. I know we tried Ben Shapiro, and of course he was Jewish. We did get turned down.
I don't think we could afford Joe Rogan at this particular point.
Well, we did Hannity and Ingram in her heyday and Levin and Savage and
That's true.
Yeah, maybe we'll find out if Joe Rogan is truly a free thinker. Will he allow this right-wing, conservative Christian podcast to be promoted?
I don't think he'd have a big problem with it. All right, Enough listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line Friday on Issues Etc. We're going to look forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary. We'll be talking with Dr. Carl Fikencher about Jesus calling the first disciples in Luke chapter 5. And we'll begin a series with Dr. Alvin Schmidt, author of our book of the month, Faith Misused, Why Christianity is Not Just Another Religion. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.